The Bench. The Bench. On ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Jones says one of the bait-driven protests was right here at the Sam Houston statue. It was going to be torn down, and both sides were duped. I believe that. Yeah.
So do I.
713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Lamont sent us the former Facebook exec says that social media is ripping apart society. You've got to watch The Social Dilemma. It's good.
Did you now brings up something on Twitter. Was yesterday the last game that George Springer will ever play as a Astro in Minute Maid Park?
And he hit two homers.
As a possible farewell?
Could well be, yeah. No, I could see that. Do they bring... Okay, you had your druthers. They bring back Springer, 5 years, $100 million? Or they bring back Brantley, 2 years, $30
million? Springer's 31. Is Brantley 33, 34 now?
Yeah.
For the emotional attachment, even as a, let's just say, casual Astro fan that I am, give me George back at 5 years. But if you're talking about the smarter decision, it's probably Brantley for 2 years.
He's 33.
So will Brantley still be?
He'll be 34 next year.
At 36.
Well, 34, 36. They'll both be 36 at the end of the deals.
True. It's Brantley, but Brantley's the better hitter now.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to make a $100 million commitment to George.
And at the end of it, he's 36.
And, oh, by the way, if you can get him for $100.
Who knows who will offer him what.
Right. Well, this has not been a great season for him. This is not going to be a season that's going to be – there's not a lot of money out there, although we've seen stupid contracts, Mookie Betts and some other ones. I mean, it just seems like, well, yeah, I thought you guys were hurting. I don't know.
Yeah, every time we talk about pandemic money, the Rams don't care. The Texans don't care.
No.
Guys still getting deals. Running backs getting deals in the NFL. Multiple. Alvin Kamara for the Saints. Yeah, George, right now, 250, 13 homers, OPS 875. I don't know if it's a smart decision to lock in with him for 5 years. If he was... Does he still have the same animus? It's one of my new favorite words. By the way, what's with you in the non-word of the day thing? What happened to that?
Well, it hasn't come in yet.
Sure.
I have, you know, some miscellany words, but...
Okay. Does George still have that same attitude about this organization that ain't no way I'm giving you a favorable deal when it comes to my final big contract? Does he still feel that way, you think?
I don't know, because he thought he was going to get a deal this spring. And I think he was looking forward to it, and I think he was going, from word I got, he was hoping for it, that he would get it. So I don't know that that's, but now that they haven't done it, I don't know that they promised him or said that they would, or that it was forthcoming. But since it hasn't come, oh well.
If you're George Springer, and, you know, as long as you're an Astro, you're going to catch heat,
mm-hmm.
and your career is going to be looked at in a different light. Would you want to go finish your career someplace else where you can wipe some of that off of you?
I think the other guys have wiped it off, haven't they?
Already.
Yeah, as long as you're not in an Astros uniform.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Would it be an added benefit to go play someplace else and no one even think of you as one of those guys?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would go, although there would still be, you're a cheater, you're MVP cheater, and be, so what?
Yeah.
You're hitting for the Red Sox. Right?
Yeah, and they wouldn't care anymore.
No.
They cheated too.
They cheated. Yeah, they cheated. I think that could well have been the last time we saw him.
That is interesting. We found out over the weekend that Justin Verlander needs Tommy John, so he won't be pitching next year.
And last time we've seen him,
and then maybe George's last home game as well. It's mm-hmm. been an interesting.
Maybe Yuli's last game.
A lot of
maybe
guys.
Brantley's last game, Reddick's last game for sure, I think.
Where do the Astros want to go? Do they still want to? I mean, the pitching seems with Fromber and Urquidy and now McCullers. Do they see that as a and Greinke for a year unless they trade him. Do they see it as a rotation that next year keeps them in it? Because if not, why would you spend so much money on your lineup if you don't think the rotation is good enough?
Well, I don't know. Are you as good without that Hoss at the top? No.
No. So that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Do they think who's going to be left is good enough? Because if not, you may want to make some decisions about where you're allocating money if you don't think you're a title contender. The run, start in 15. We know what happened with the Royals in that eighth inning. And then 16 obviously didn't make the playoffs. But since 17, consistent playoff performer. How long should a baseball run actually last?
As good as young guys as since you lost Hunter for three straight years, you know, you built it up and you did a nice job. Luno did a nice job. He made some mistakes, but he did a really nice job building up the organization. The organization, though, as far as, well, everybody's now because they got rid of all their minor leaguers, but it was a disaster anyway before they got rid of all the players, all the minor leagues. The Astros were a disaster. So, you know, I don't. This window could have stayed open for a while. It could stay open for a while.
If Verlander was healthy, that adds to it, but that is no longer something that's reality based. We thought this thing could go on for, I don't know, 7-8 years. Yeah. 2015 to 20 is 5, and 20 is a little different because of all the things that have gone into play. So let's say 15 to 19. You had 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. You had 5 years, 16 didn't go well, but 5 years of being legit. Is that long enough as a baseball run?
It's a pretty good run.
Yeah.
The Dodgers are going to be longer than that.
Yeah.
The Red Sox were pretty damn long. The Yankees are always, because they'll always spend the money. I mean, you don't know. Maybe he'll spend the money. Yeah. Maybe he'll just say, yeah, we're bringing George back. We're going to bring Bradley back. We're going to bring Yuli back.
The same guy who really wanted people in the stands to get some to buy beers.
Right. I mean, and we got Yordan coming. Let's not forget.
That's true. Cheap, really good player. It'll be interesting to see what they decide to do with the general manager who's had not a real year to try to make moves or establish himself here. What they decide is best for their future. And is Jim Crane, will he have that conversation with James Click? Okay, James, where are we at? Do we really think we can compete? And if he says yes, then maybe money will be spent. If he says eh.
Do you trust James Click? That's a question. That's a real question. After Luno, and we saw the way that he went about it so far, what James Click has done, Brooks Raley.
Well, what was he supposed to do, John?
Well, he did.
As soon as Verlander got hurt, what was he supposed to do?
He did the Taylor trade, which was nice.
Yeah, I get the Brooks Raley thing as bleh, but as far as moves to be made during this
right
season, what was he supposed to
do? No, I don't think he was given permission to go spend freely. No. Yeah. No. And a good thing, too, because this is not a championship team.
No, he held off, and rightfully so. And then revenues are down across baseball, so Jim Crane will have to make a decision about his team going forward.
The killer is how garbage they are offensively. Just garbage.
Yeah, they're pitching, while not great, certainly in the bullpen, starting is good enough to they're hitting better to make you kind of feel good about what was possible. Now it's like we laid it out for you. The bet was how many runs against the Diamondbacks and Rangers? Like four. You had it at 40 what?
42. They scored 15.
Yeah. And amazingly, because they're pitching, won 4 out of 6.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still 15 games, 15 runs over 6 games.
No, listen. Their pitching is making you say, wait a minute. This team might be able to do something with this pitching. They've been really, really good. 10-12 ESPN 97.5. All right. Back to the Texans. We want positive feedback from yesterday's game. 713-780-3776. Either that, or I'm going to read the Texans' notes that they sent out and give you all the positives from the game. If you ain't going to do it, if you're not going to come in and bring positives, then I'm going to do it. Yeah. Yeah. How about that? So it's up to you.
So if I hadn't brought up baseball stuff, you would have done that in this segment?
Yeah. Texans.
I better start talking about golf next.
Rah, rah, sis, boom, bah. No, go Texans.
No, they're the Steelers of the South.
Steelers of the South.
That's what we found out.
We got to play that again.
Okay.
All right? Because I mean, that got me pumped. We're the Steelers of the South.
And it's just great that the Steelers are going to be in town. Actually, the Texans are going there. that were taking Steelers of the South up north.
Yeah. Steelers of the South. Woo. 1013 ESPN 97.5, 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
ESPN 97.5 is your home for Texas A&M Athletics. Catch all the football and basketball action right here as the Aggies make their way through the SEC. Only on ESPN 97.5. Giga Mags. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
I'm concerned about what's happening now. You know, I'll cross that bridge when I get to it. I'm concerned.
It was George Springer talking about his contract after the game, after he had two homers to win the game for the club. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Deshaun, 25 of 36, 275 yards, a touchdown and an interception. By the way, that was a great interception. The back is swinging out of the backfield and actually not doing anything.
No.
And Peters ran across the field and was covering the back out of the backfield. And that is such a tough deal for the quarterback because he's following that receiver crossing across the field, and from the other side the defensive back comes back. That is a, you'll see that a lot. You won't see it quite like that, but you'll see guys in a zone where that corner, you feel like he's going to be running with the wide receiver, yet he stays put, and he it's a trap. It's a corner trap. And that's what it was, and it was a trap, and Deshaun fell for it.
Yep, and of course, because of the position he plays in the year he was drafted, it's always like the ghost of Texans draft pick passed because they took Kevin Johnson at corner instead of Marcus Peters. Now, Marcus Peters, since that draft, has been proven to be a guy who his act wears thin in places, and even at that time, now it was a cliche, but it probably holds true. The Texans aren't about that life.
No.
When it comes to guys who may have a little stink on them. And that was one of the reasons he was drafted where he was drafted. But the Texans took Kevin Johnson at corner. Marcus Peters is still a really, really good player.
Yeah, he's a really good player, but the Chiefs gave him away as one of the best corners in the league. And then the Rams just let him go.
Yeah, the problem is not that you took Kevin Johnson ahead. Well, that is a problem. The problem is you didn't take a different corner that's really good as opposed to Marcus Peters. You took Kevin Johnson.
Right. Kevin Johnson's a character guy, though.
Does he play football for
the Texans? I don't care. He doesn't play football for the Texans, but he was. Is he still or did he die?
Didn't he have a lacerated like spleen or something?
Yeah, right. He's dead.
No, he's alive.
He's still alive?
No, yeah, he didn't die.
Oh. Well, I thought he died on that one hit he took as a Texan where he got his 19th concussion.
Yeah, he still tried to play, but he was injured and hospitalized for
just give it up, Kevin Johnson. You weigh about 140 pounds.
Yeah, it was a lacerated liver, not spleen. Oh. But yeah, as you might imagine, he's not active right now, but he's still trying to play.
Well, no. I mean, when you lacerate your liver, you probably shouldn't play anymore, don't think. Yeah. I don't know.
So he's likely out for the year.
Mm-hmm.
So he won't be playing for the Browns, unfortunately for him. Yes, I would have to go look back at that draft, but I imagine there are probably other corners other than Marcus Peters you could have taken at that spot that turned out really well.
Yeah.
Really good.
Yeah.
But he is the one that...
Well, the Texans made a mistake in the draft?
Okay. The first round, they've been okay.
Yeah.
2015, not so much.
I'm not believing your crap. Okay.
Winnie Merciless in the first round. C. Great pick.
Well, awesome pick. 59 snaps. 0-0-0-0.
Yeah, but that was yesterday. He had 3 tackles in week 1.
Oh, yeah. That's right. I think he's played 100 and... How many snaps did he... I think he had 60 snaps. He's got like almost 120 snaps or something and 3 tackles. That's awesome.
Have you ever had a tackle in the NFL, John?
No, I have zero tackles in the NFL.
So can you really judge a man who has three in two games?
Yeah. Maybe they should give him another $54 million.
Well, if they had the budget for it.
Can we rank the worst contracts?
You want to do this, really? Because you always leave upset after we do it. You really want to do this?
Honestly, you could argue that the Whitney Merciless is the worst of the contracts.
Is the Pat Buchanan? I like to call him that because he didn't play well. I like to set up Patrick. What's his name? Wasn't it P-Buck? Was it Patrick? Why am I blanking on his name?
No.
Philip
Buchanan.
Pat Buchanan is the political comment.
Right.
Yeah. How many guys did you trade for him?
Well, I'm talking about this team right now.
Worst trades. Was he the worst trade in Texans history?
Well, they gave up a third rounder. And actually, it was the Cowboys' third rounder.
And that was it? Only a third rounder?
I think so. Or was it a second rounder?
I thought they gave up multiple picks for Philip Buchanan. Maybe it was only a third rounder. But still.
I'm pretty sure. Maybe it was a second rounder. But I'm pretty sure they said they got an extra pick. I think they got that pick from the Cowboys, and they moved it to the Raiders.
Gary and Conley or Philip Buchanan? The Raiders traded to the Texans for a second and third rounder in 2005.
Oh, yeah. The third rounder was the Cowboys pick. So they only gave up a second rounder.
Worst trade.
For one of the great corners in the league.
So is the Gary and Conley trade worse or better?
Whew.
Since you...
Oh, they're both. They're both really, really... The Gary and Conley now already can't get on the field.
So we've got the DeAndre trade.
No, DeAndre's way worse.
Yeah, there it is.
No.
And the best trade...
I'm talking about contract.
It still moves.
What?
It's still a move.
No, I'm talking about the worst contract.
We already know the worst contract is the Whitney Merciless contract. Which one is worse?
No, on the entire team, I would think that, yes, it's the worst.
Which one is worse? Think of one. A big money free agent, or he's your own free agent, or not even a free agent. Big money extension for that. Can you think of a worse free agent signing? Colvin, is that worse?
That was pretty awful. No, any of the, what about Gibson?
It's bad too.
That's bad too. Any Jaguar defensive back
you
pick up.
Maybe they should stop acquiring Jaguars picks, or I mean defenders.
Well, they should pick up these guys on the team now because they're pretty good.
Well, they gave up 33 to the Titans. I don't know how good they are
defensively. Yeah, but then look at Minshew.
Tannehill.
Minshew mania.
Well, he's a quarterback, and you can't make that decision.
I wouldn't mind having him.
Well, you would trade him straight up?
I don't know. I saw a lot of heart. A dude who bounced back, who came back, brought his team back when they were down.
I'm just saying, don't.
Twice now.
Don't try to acquire any Jags DBs, because they gave up four touchdown passes to Tannehill. That's just saying.
That's a bad thing. Let's get Anthony in here. Hey, Anthony.
How you doing, guys? Love your show.
Good. What's going on?
All right, so before y'all cut me off, just hear me out. I honestly believe that the Houston Texans are literally two players away from being close to Chiefs and the Ravens. The reason why I say that is because there were three incidents yesterday that Deshaun Watson broke loose, but, wow, conveniently, he didn't have a guy that can scramble, to do a scramble drill and get open and out-jump and catch everybody. And it seemed like they lacked a lot of athleticism on defense that can, like, match Lamar Jackson and chase him down from behind. I think they traded those two guys away, though. I don't know. I'm kind of confused. But I honestly believe, all jokes aside, if they had those two players, they'll be equal to the Chiefs and the Ravens. But we have a great GM. Have a blessed day, guys.
Yeah, I don't think they did a bad job against Lamar, actually. They did a pretty decent job against him.
Yeah, and I don't think they'd be equal to the Ravens or the Chiefs with those two guys. We saw them with one of them last year, and it wasn't close.
No, it was terrible.
Not in the postseason. And Jadeveon Clowney, he's a good player, but he's not raising the level of the Texans to Raven Chief status.
No, but they were better against the run when he was there.
Certainly.
That's another...
But does he play safety or corner for the Pat Mahomes scenario? Well, I guess, and he's not a great pass rusher. He's better than what they have.
No, but he's good. He was good against the run now.
Yeah, but I know. But if you want to be able to get yourself near at least the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes, first of all, you actually have to be near him rushing the passer or have people in the secondary who can cover. Clowney doesn't do the second part of that equation, and he's just okay with the first part.
So, well, they would be better with Clowney.
Yeah.
They would be better.
I'm not saying that's not true.
Yeah.
His assertion is that with those two players, they'd be close. They wouldn't be close.
Well, I'll tell you this. It'll be interesting to see how they do going forward, because we haven't seen the All-22 yet. But the announcer, who was it, Trent Green, was on the game?
Yes.
Trent Green was saying, man, these Texan safeties, they did it last week and they're doing it again. They're playing deep. And they didn't give up, you know, they didn't give up the big, big play. Now, they gave up 200. Well, they did give up the big play to Ingram on the ground, but they didn't give up the big pass play. You know, the longest pass play was, what, 29 yards? That's pretty damn good.
It looks like it's a concerted effort from Anthony Weaver's defense that we're not going to get beat over the top.
No, we're just not getting beat over
we're
the
not
top.
Long.
Now, that'll also make you give up 230 yards on the ground.
Yeah.
Right.
And particularly against the Ravens offense, who would love to do that. But then again, they still have Marquise Brown, and they love to take those shots. So you pick. And for most of the game until that final drive or so, they were fine. We go back to it. Touchdown scored off a defensive return, fumble return. And then your head coach set you up in a bad position. That is 14 points the defense probably didn't have to give up.
No, actually, the defense played pretty well.
Yeah, they gave up the 4th-and-1 late. But okay, you're selling out to try to get the ball back. And that happened.
Now, it would have been a slower death probably if he'd have punted the ball there instead of, you know, going. I guess he thought, you know what, let's just get this touchdown over with. Seems, you think that that's what Bill O'Brien's thought was?
No, he told us what his thought was. He told us that they did not go for it on a 4th-and-1 earlier, and then they went down and kicked the field goal. So now he felt like, all right, I got to get that back.
Do you think that he's using like Daryl Morey analytics? Let's just let him score right away, and then we'll score more.
I don't even think Daryl Morey would say let them score.
Yeah, it's hard to score more than a touchdown. Yeah. But maybe he was hoping, let's give them the ball real fast.
What did he hope?
Let them score.
Justin Tucker would miss the extra point, and then they would be able to score a touchdown.
Or they'd have to kick a field goal, you know. Hmm. Yeah, that's pretty unlikely.
I would ask you to stop with the mental gymnastics to explain that nonsense yesterday.
Well, there's no way to explain going for it on 4th-and-1. It's your own 34 in a 3-0 game.
Yeah, and now Trent Green tried to explain it away as, well, what? Bill O'Brien knew that points are going to be something. A lot of points are going to be scored. You keep up the Ravens. You got to keep the ball. But until that point, there was no evidence that the Ravens are going to go up and down the field.
That was
he might have entered the game with that thought that this is going to be a shootout. I gotta score. But the game changed. The game should have changed his thought process. It wasn't going to be that.
It was 3-0.
Yeah,
at the end of the first quarter. This was the end of the first quarter.
That is just what Trent Green said.
This was exactly the kind of game you wanted. Punt the ball.
He entered the game believing that points needed to be scored in a lot of them. But like I said, even if that was the case and you're trying to explain that he had a strategy going in as just opposed to, I feel like we should go for it, as opposed to a strategy, the game changed. He didn't have to ride with that feeling anymore. The defense was playing well. These were long drives, and sometimes not even drives, just punting the ball back. You didn't have to take the chance. And it actually opened up the game for the Ravens. All of a sudden, it's 10-0, and they're feeling pretty good. As opposed to putting your defense back on the field who had played pretty well. But, yeah, I'm just glad I have your picks.
Go Steelers.
I'm not going to say that out loud because I hate the Steelers, but it doesn't hurt that you have to go on the road and play them.
You know what? If something hurts on you, I got a cure for you. Well, not a cure so much, but some way to cope. And it's called CBD American Shaman. CBD American Shaman. Now, the shaman was the, I guess he was the tribe's medical, well, not medical so much, but herbal genius. And that's what they do at American Shaman, is they have taken CBD oil and done something nobody else has done, and they made it water soluble. And that's the difference between American Shaman CBD oil and everybody else's, is that it flows through your body evenly, as opposed to being oil and water, which don't mix, and it might not get to where you want if you've got any kind of issues, joint issues, if you've got anxiety issues, if you've got swelling, it helps in all of these ways. It helps me in all of these ways. I've got a bad back, and I take mine in the morning. And then when I'm playing poker, I'm playing golf, I love it because you do have less anxiety. And when you got that putt, that five-footer for whatever money that you're playing for, you want to be calm, cool, and collected. And that's what American Shaman does. CBD American Shaman. 30 locations around the city. Very knowledgeable. They'll explain everything to you, even for your pets. You got a pet that might need it. It has anxiety issues. Well, you can get a pet CBD oil as well. ShopCBDTX.com. Locations all over the city. ShopCBDTX.com.
ESPN 97.5 is more talk and less commercials, which means more sports talk for you.
That's awesome. That's just sick.
However, it does mean less pee time for the hosts.
I can't hold it in anymore.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine with this. ESPN 97.5.
There's a little pee coming out of me right now.
Ew. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
Bill O'Brien has said, we've been in this position before. Unfortunately, many times we've gotten out of this position, but it's a different year. We just have to improve in every area. That's pretty much all I can tell you. Everybody's got to do better. Yeah, this is what happens, and this is what happens when you play the best two teams. This is the toughest start to a schedule in 50 years in the NFL. So, since 1968, the hardest start to a season, the first two games. These are two of the best teams in the NFL. Okay, power rankings?
Are we giving it to Seattle? As number one overall?
I think you could. I don't think you'd... I mean, I think the Ravens... and I think it's between the Seahawks and the Ravens.
Yeah. The nice win against what appears to be at least a functional Patriots offense and a good team. Atlanta, not so much. Although we saw yesterday Atlanta should at least be 1-1, but they're not because they're Atlanta. And then the Ravens beat the Browns and the Texans. If we're going to use strength of schedule to make a determination. The Steelers have looked pretty good, but that's against the Jets and the...
Well, we can't forget the Saints.
They play tonight.
Yeah.
So we'll see what they...
My power rankings...
The Rams, maybe?
Well, I think they're moving up, that's for sure. My power... Well, and the Packers look really good.
Who has the best win of those? I mean, we would say San Francisco's a good football team. The Cardinals are 2-0 and beat them. On the road when they are healthy, who has the best win of this year in football? I think it's the Cardinals. A road win in San Francisco,
probably with a healthy Garoppolo.
Yeah,
healthy defensive.
Yeah, they're all healthy in that one.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
So, if we're going to use what they've actually done on the field, I might have to go with the Cardinals.
Yeah, but with your human eye, I don't think you'd rank them.
I mean, why are the Rams better than the Cardinals? Based on what, last year?
Well, I didn't say that, but the Seahawks.
With my human eye, I know that the Cardinals went into a place the Seahawks couldn't win in last year and won. That's what my human eye says.
Yeah.
And the Seahawks beat a Falcons team who we all believe isn't very good. And they did have a good win against the Patriots at home. My human eye says, as far as this year's concerned, the Cardinals have played the best brand of football. At least in one game. I don't think any team has played better than them when you compare that one game. And the Redskins apparently aren't awful. Who's the other team they beat?
Well, I think if you look at who's looked the best, it would be the Ravens. I mean, they beat the snot out of the Browns. The Browns aren't good. And they went to Houston and beat them.
I guess it's all whatever impression you have of the Texans is going to determine that.
It's funny, the Chiefs are 2-0 and we ain't saying that.
The Chiefs beat the Texans. And the Ravens beat the Texans. Are the question for both those teams, since we're ranking them, is are the Texans a good team? Or will they eventually be a good team? Your buddy in there has them at 7-9, so he doesn't think a win over them is that impressive.
Yeah, I don't. I've got them 9-7 or 10-6. Still, if you got power rankings, I'd go Ravens, Seahawks, Chiefs, Rams, Cardinals, or Cardinals, Rams.
I would go Cardinals. They have the win on the road.
And Packers, I mean, the Vikings are not good. The Lions suck. It's probably them right after. And then the Bills.
It's a surprise how bad the Vikings are. They might be the most disappointing team in the league right now.
They probably are.
Because they are awful right now. Kirk Cousins, what did he throw, 3 picks yesterday?
No, they're bad for a team that was supposed to be good.
They better not come here and win.
They better not come here and win. And you got to put the Saints up there too. There's some good football teams.
And we'll see what they do tonight.
And listen, if the Raiders win, you're going to have to put them up there.
Yeah, who do they beat week one?
The Raiders went to Carolina and won.
Okay. That was a good offensive performance for them and Derek Carr. The Vikings are 0-2, and who do they have in week 3? Because that very well could be a stink bowl. 2-3-0.
They got the Titans.
They could be 2-0-3 teams coming in playing up that week, Texans and Vikings.
Or 2-1-2 teams, Dell.
Yeah, I know. But for my stink bowl narrative, it's better if they're 0-3. And for my
if they come in here 0-3 and beat the Texans.
Well, if the Texans are 0-3, why wouldn't they? It's whatever.
Well, the Texans have had a much tougher run.
That's true. But they haven't been competitive.
Says you.
No, says the games.
No. Says you. I think they've been very competitive.
Uh-huh. What's the combined? Do they have the worst point differential in football right now?
Points against differential. The Texans are minus 31. And there is nobody else minus 31.
The worst point differential. Now, it is two really good teams. But they...
You can't laugh at them.
I can laugh.
Eagles are minus 28. I'm and look who they've played.
I'm laughing at you.
And the Jets are minus 28.
No, I'm laughing at you. Because you said they were competitive. They had the worst point differential in all of football. And you know why it's not worse? Because the Chiefs took their foot off the gas in the fourth quarter when it was 31-7. Whatever the score was.
But they played the two best teams in the world.
But you said they were competitive. They haven't been competitive. They had the worst differential in all of football. And it should be worse.
Says you.
No, says the numbers. No. Not me. The stats.
Kind of is, but not really.
What do you mean kind of? It kind of could be worse.
It can't possibly be worse.
If the Chiefs still decide they wanted to play in the fourth quarter, it would be worse. They'd be in the 40 range probably. Competitive. Worst point differential in football. Man, get your trash ass team out of my face.
You want them to be trash ass.
I know.
Those are my picks.
Exactly.
That's my picks.
Well, these are the teams they're competing with. The Jets at minus 28. Somehow the Browns won a game because they got their ass kicked. They're minus 27. They're minus 27. The Eagles at minus 28. And the Vikings and the Lions at minus 26 and minus 25. Those are the teams you have a worst point differential then.
Okay. The worst teams. The Jets are the worst team.
Yes.
I don't think there's any argument there. But you know what? The Eagles are closing in.
Yeah. I mean, you have a big lead against the Washington football team and blow it. And then, the Rams took you apart yesterday, too.
They're terrible. The Lions are terrible. The Vikings are terrible.
And these are teams with competent to above competent quarterbacks. Yeah. It's not like they're rolling out there with rookies or journeymen.
Look at
Stafford, Wentz, and Cousins, and they're that bad.
And it's not even arguable. The NFC West, Arizona's plus 19, the Rams plus 21, Seahawks plus 18, San Francisco's 1-1, and they're plus 14. Of course, they did play the Jets.
Yeah.
But they are that division, holy crap. The Ravens, leading the way, plus 49 already.
Well, they played two. Let me be kind to the Texans. An average football team and a Browns team who knows what they are.
No.
Their win is against the Bengals, who've actually been competitive in their games.
Snap to it. Somebody sent Johnny Boy another pizza. No, I didn't get another pizza. I'm just being realistic. They played the two best teams. They played the toughest schedule in the two-game schedule in 50 years.
And should they have the worst point differential in football? Despite that?
Yeah.
But
that's understandable, at least.
You think they're a 9-10 win team, right? That's what you just said.
Yeah.
A 9-10 win football team shouldn't be so much worse than those two.
Listen, we'll find out. This is their Auburn game. Okay, it's like Texas A&M. It's got to play Auburn. They got to play
on the road.
You understand losing to Alabama and LSU. You get that. But they got to win. They got to win the Mississippi State game. They got to win the Auburn game. They got to beat Ole Miss. They got to beat those teams.
At this point, they got a real shot to lose to Auburn, then get blasted at home by Vandy.
If they get blasted at home by the Vikings, then this is in full free fall.
Look, the Vikings are going to be desperate as hell. Even if they win their next game, they can't go to 1-3 in a division. If they the Bears are 2-0, the Packers are 2-0, and they already have a division loss against the Packers. I don't care what the Vikings do in week 3. They're going to be desperate as hell coming in here. They can't fall to 1-3 in that division. If the Titans go in there and win, which is very possible, they're 0-3. Desperation will be their thing. Man, the Texans better. Now, 0-4, they've come back from, right? Or was it 1-3?
They were
0-3.
0-3.
0-3.
Yeah.
I don't know if you come back from 0-4.
But look at, I mean, you think that, listen, we'll let Stephon Diggs go. That's fine. They got Adam Thielen, and he's got 9 catches. After that, B.C. Johnson, Justin Jefferson, Alexander Mattison, Kyle Rudolph, who's 100 years old, Irv Smith Jr., not senior, junior.
Mm-hmm. Alabama tight end.
I mean, goodness gracious. They're bad. This is bad.
I think there needs to be a question. Did you get double pepperoni on your pizza from the Texans?
No.
Or was it pepperoni and sausage?
It was
this new one they gave you.
Don't worry. Texans will be 2-2 after this.
Hopefully. Actually, not hopefully. I got your picks. I can't even pretend like I need them to win games. I got to be honest. No.
Watch this. Next week, we're going to be talking about, hey, Bill O'Brien, nice job.
Well, hopefully for the city itself.
Whitney Merciless, 4 sacks.
Ooh. Against the Steelers offensive line?
Yeah.
Well, Ben Brandon does like Cooks, to hold the ball a lot.
3 touchdowns.
Against that Steelers secondary?
David Johnson, 150 yards rushing.
Do you know who they're playing?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what we're going to be talking about next
David
week.
David Johnson... I'm not going to slam
I don't believe that this is really Sandra. This is Eric Wong's girlfriend.
Well, her name might be Sandra.
Let's see. Hey, Sandra.
Hey.
See? How about them Cowboys? What did I tell you?
What'd you say, Sandra?
How about them Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Why are you talking like that, Sandra? Is Eric in the room? You got to be quiet?
I think the Texans might have the vanilla ice first. What do you think, guys?
Beat it.
I don't know, Sandra.
It.
You know you could just call him with the same name. You're not fooling anybody.
You're not fooling anyone.
Just call him with whatever your name
we
is.
We know you call at 10:44 every day because you just woke up. You just rolled over.
Because Eric bored you with the sex.
Whoa.
Yeah, so you're getting up another day with Eric.
Another day.
Sleeping in because you don't... The more time you sleep in, the less time you have to spend awake with Eric.
Yeah.
So we get it. You're just getting up right now.
It was this time of the month that Eric had sex with you.
Yeah, and let's be clear, Sandra or Jennifer, whatever your name is. Let's be honest. Most of the time, you're taking care of yourself.
Because
you know Eric can't get it done. And it's fine.
That's a bit aggressive.
There's nothing wrong with a woman taking matters into her own hands.
Whoa.
But for you,
literally,
it's probably like you're doing it far more often. You're probably like a guy at this point, like a teenage boy, because Eric ain't delivering. He's like,
not with that weak D.
He's almost like, people think Trump is going to destroy the post office. Eric's already doing things the post office is probably going to do in a couple
Speaking
months.
Of which,
not I gotta, delivering.
I gotta send something to my daughter. Is our post office open or no?
They're open. No guarantees of when she's going to get it, though.
I better go to
might go to FedEx or UPS.
FedEx.
Yeah.
All right, 1046 ESPN 97.5, Champion Energy, champion.energy/1560. It's silly for you to be anywhere else because you are going to lose money. What I need you to do is go to champion.energy/1560 and start saving now. Champion.energy/1560, the best in service. And oh, by the way, every month when you get your bill, you're going to be like, yes, thank you, good night, Champion Energy. Champion.energy/1560.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780. Oh, no, we can't. We got news of the weird. You can't call in. Don't even call in. So we got some stories here. A Canadian man, Dell, was charged with speeding. It was a very unusual speeding charge. He was charged with speeding while sleeping in his Tesla. He was going about 65 miles an hour south of Edmonton back in July. It was on autopilot at over 87 miles an hour. He was 65 miles south of Edmonton. The driver was also given a 24-hour license suspension for fatigue, and he was served with a court summons. Do you think you should sleep while you're driving a Tesla?
I would. I really want to take this guy to task, but I can't lie. I don't even have a Tesla. And there have been times, do the morning show. It hasn't really been a thing recently where I would lose time on 45 South like for like 20 seconds. And be like, oh. Were my eyes just closed for that long?
Yeah.
And you're going.
No, that's scary when you wake up and you're.
And you're going, and I'm going, I'm not going how fast he was going, but I'm probably going 65, 70. I'm like, wait a minute. How long? What happened? So it wasn't purposeful. And I wasn't on autopilot either. Yeah, that's a problem with the Tesla. I mean, I don't know if you saw iRobot. I know you're a nerd now because you watch Umbrella Academy, but I don't think you saw iRobot. Yeah, just self-driving cars going 90 miles an hour down the highway.
Well, mine is smart enough, my Expedition. I put it on cruise, and I don't have to touch the pedals again. It'll slow down when the car is in front. It'll actually come to a stop.
I think the car I have will actually send an alert if you get too close. I don't know if it'll slow down.
Mine does that, too, when I'm driving without the... Without the automatic account, without
cruise control
on.
Yeah, that cars are their computers now, pretty
right.
much. But yeah, 87, is that what the speed he was going?
Yep.
Canada's pretty nice, though. They only told him he couldn't drive for 24 hours?
No, I think the cop said, this is the worst thing. I've been doing this for a long time, and this is the worst. Apparently, a man was sentenced after police found a loaded gun in his butt. A Louisiana man chose the cheekiest of places when he needed to find a quick hiding spot for his gun. He put it in his butt, a loaded gun. Do you think you will ever put, do you want to put a loaded gun in your butt at any point? Have you ever thought about doing it?
I'm not a gun person, so the answer is no. How did he lodge it? Was it like muzzle in or muzzle out? Was it actually up there, or was it just in the pants back there? These are my questions.
Yeah.
Like, if it's muzzle in, that's one crazy person.
That's a... Man, that's... First of all, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, well...
Secondly...
Depends on what you like.
You got to be nuts to do that. Florida man is in a little bit of trouble. He needed a ride home. So, he falsely reported that there was a dead body at McDonald's.
How does that help him get a ride home?
Officers responded to the fast food restaurant when they found no body. Justin Williams was sitting on the curb. He told police he called a number of times earlier in the night to ask for a ride. They charged him with misuse of 911. Do you think that you should call and report a dead body at McDonald's just so you could get a ride home? I know a guy who used to go to a bar right here, and there was a Pizza Hut right next door. And he would order the pizza... and to be delivered. And then right about when it was about to get ready and he saw the guy coming out, he goes, okay, I'll ride with you. And so he never had to call. He never drove home drunk. He just drove with the pizza delivery guy.
And the
guy.
Pizza guy decided, yeah, you can just hop in my car.
Yeah.
I got a job to do. Get out of it, bum.
Your job is to deliver me a pizza. Well, and I'm not going to be there if you don't take me home.
Oh,
pretty good move.
Now I'm understanding.
It's a pretty good move.
So he's at a bar.
Right.
He has a pizza delivered to his house.
He has it delivered to his house.
And the bar is right next to the pizza bar?
Yep.
So he just hops in the car.
He comes out. He sees the guy's going to come. Okay. I got my pizza guy's coming out. He takes him home.
That.
Gives him a nice tip. Thanks for the ride. Bye.
Who are the degenerates you know? It's actually a brilliant move.
That's a great move. I don't know the guy. I heard the story.
Mm-hmm. My brother, you know, the one who got sent home to or sent somewhere
right.
from Home Depot. He called. I was 8 years old and he was. He was a teenager. He called the police just to see what would happen. He called 911. He was like, 911. They're like, and he hung up. He go, oh, okay. I hung up. No problem.
Nope.
No, there's a problem. Yeah. They came to the door. That's they go, what? We got a call. He goes, oh, my dear brother, because at 16, the police are there. You're going to say something stupid. I called by accident. They're like, what? What do you mean? You called 911 by accident? He goes, yeah. So they were trying to make sure. They asked me about it just to make sure things were okay. I was like, yeah, it's fine. And then you know what they did? They didn't just walk away. Slid a note right under my dad's door. And my dad at the time was locking his door. He slid a note right under the door. Got home. He goes, what the hell did you guys do? One of the check marks of why he got sent away.
That's why he got deported.
Yeah, well, he actually did leave the country.
Does this ever happen with you and Granny? Granny lost the keys to the handcuffs, and so they had to call the cops, and the cops unhandcuffed him?
We don't use handcuffs. We use scarves.
You use scarves?
Yeah. They don't
marks. You can cut them if you tie them too tight.
And really don't leave marks, and they're not uncomfortable.
Right.
Yeah. So.
You and Granny?
We avoided that situation. Scarves.
Scarves is the best, is the way to go, Doug.
Yeah, not handcuffs.
Congratulations. We're done. The press box is next. I'm sure that they're going to have all kinds of positive reviews like we did about the Texans game. They'll give their positive spin next. I think did they get any pizzas? Did they get a pizza?
We'll find out.
We'll find out if they got pizzas next right here on ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Hall of Fame, Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.